Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, everyone. Good evening and welcome to a special non-lockdown episode of Avenger Radio, your home of all things Avondale FC, coming to you live from the actual studio at Football Nation Radio. My name is Branson Gibson. I am joined by FNR's Ed Gooden. Good evening, Ed. How are you, mate?
I'm well, Branson. How are you?
I'm doing very well because that is the first time I've nailed Ed Gooden. Good evening.
First time for everything.
That's it. I'm glad we got there. It's only taken me four times to get your name right. So
you've done a good job at covering up the green screen ruse that we have here. We're actually both in our bedrooms.
Yeah.
And this is just a whole bunch of special effects. We've called in the Melbourne Film Studios. Yep. We've made it happen. Yep. You're actually a CGI man right now.
Yep, absolutely. As are you.
So, as am I.
Yeah, yes. we've done well. But, mate, we do have a big show ahead of us tonight. We have some exciting news about our return to football. We'll chat to some of our senior men's players later on. And we'll also take a little look at the European Championships, which are going on at the moment, mate. But tonight's episode of Avenger Radio is brought to us by one of our major partners at Avondale FC, Clover. Clover is the most complete provider in the planning, source and supply of world-leading pipeline systems for the water and civil infrastructure markets. Clover combines strategic project consultation, product innovation and service excellence, which is just fantastic. So
the only three things you really need when you're looking at pipes.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
For more information, visit cloverpipe.com.au. They are fantastic sponsors of Avondale FC. But Ed, to kick things off, we have some big news about returning to the football pitch that we're going to get to straight off the bat. Joining us to give us an update on the latest news is General Manager Sam Watson. Good evening, Sam. How are you doing, mate?
Good evening, gentlemen. Good evening, Avengers.
How are you, Sam? I see this week you have a snazzy background up this week. You did mention last week you didn't quite get to figure it out, so you've got it.
I had to step up my game. I had to step up my game. Everyone had these fantastic backgrounds, and I just had my study here. So I did a quick Zoom 101 of how to do backgrounds, and so I've picked a lovely shot of our beer garden there.
Yeah.
With some of our sponsors. Banners in the background, so it's good.
Let's point out the fact that our own Branson Gibson is actually in that photo as well. So we're doubling up on Branson tonight. He's the one with the raised leg, which is
on the table, which is great. Yep,
yeah,
fantastic.
Absolutely, it's fantastic.
But that's not the biggest news. Is me being in Sam's photo. Sam, the biggest news is what's coming out of FE about the return of football. What can you tell us, mate?
So at the moment, we got a communication about 2 o'clock today stating that NPL is coming back. So we will resume round 17 for our senior men under 21s and under 19s. And for the junior boys NPL, they'll resume at round 11. We're still yet to get an official communication from Vic about the community side of things, so our senior women and our women's divisions, but hopefully that will come out tomorrow. But yeah, fantastic. It's great that we've now got a plan. We now know sort of who we've got in this coming week. So everyone should be excited around the club.
Fantastic. So picking up more or less where the season would be at the moment, that means we're facing Dandenong City this Saturday at 3 p.m. at Avenger Park. Is there any word on the games that we missed? Obviously, we missed 2 weeks. Do we have any update? Is it likely that the season will be extended, or are we looking at catch-ups at some stage?
At the moment, we haven't been notified. I suspect, and this is only just my own personal opinion, that Football Victoria was really keen to get a communication out today on who will be playing this weekend. Mm-hmm. Just so everyone can prepare for that. And I think in the coming days, probably hopefully in the next 48 hours, we'll get a bit of an idea from them on what those catch-up games will look like, when they'll be fixtured, etc. But I think FE was just really keen just to let everyone know that you'll be playing this weekend, and this is the round that your opponent will be, i.e. for our seniors, 17, and for our boys, it's round 11. Round 11.
Has there been any communication regarding crowd limits as well, Sam?
At the moment, there hasn't. From what I understand, there won't be any restrictions. However, don't take my word for it. Very much, we'll follow all the lot regulations and rules that Football Vic put in place, and we'll make sure we're fully prepared. So if we do have crowds coming, we'll have everyone checking in on QR codes for both seniors and juniors, and we've also prepared codes for all the women, so when they get back to playing as well, or when we get told when they're back to playing, we're also prepared there. And what we just ask is all parents, fans, players, everyone who goes to a game will need to be checking in every time. So I think the players are already experienced that right now at training, but same goes for everyone on the weekends. If we are having crowds, then the expectation will be that you're checking in.
Right, so that's going to apply for this weekend as well then. Are there anything else that fans should expect when they come to Avenger Park? I imagine there'll be plenty of hand sanitizer around as well, and plenty of QR codes at the entrance.
Yeah. The main communication put to us is checking in is just so important. We've just seen that in the past, recently, Victoria's been exposed for sort of being probably a bit lazy in that sense. And that is sort of the real big focal point going forward, is that everyone has to check in all the time. So, we'll make sure we get those bases covered. And then the other elements are sort of the cleaning, the hand sanitizer and everything. We already had them in place, so that won't be a big change for us. It's more just really focusing on getting everyone checked in.
I was going to ask them, what are you looking forward to most heading back in? Obviously, abundance of hand sanitizer is extremely fun for everyone. QR codes, very exciting. But from a footballing perspective, how excited are you to see the boys back on the field?
Oh, I think that it's almost given us a really good point to sort of reflect on. We're exactly halfway through the NPL season. We've played every team once, whether home or away. And I just think that the team we've got on the park at the moment, they've had so many injuries throughout the first half of the year. And they're finally now getting to a squad where everyone looks healthy or is on the verge of being back to playing. And the best part about that for us in particular is the fact that we're going to have to be most likely playing catch-up games during the week. And obviously we're still in the FFA Cup. So there's going to be the potential for our squad to be tested. And it's fantastic that we're all back healthy. And I think it's a really exciting opportunity for the club to really sort of show what potential we've got.
Sam, one other thing that's sort of been missed with the lockdown, of course, is the FFA Cup. Do we have any insight on when that game against North Geelong might be?
Yeah, we've got a communication out that it will be next week. We still haven't heard the exact information from our opponents yet on the location. But, yeah, it will be next week. So our next games will be Dandenong City this weekend, followed by our FFA Cup game midweek next week.
Fantastic. Well, Sam, we'll let you go. Thank you very much for providing us with an update. It's fantastic news to hear that football is back at Avondale FC.
Absolutely.
This weekend. We look forward to seeing as many people as we can at Avenger Park. We've got the under-21s game before the seniors. I think that kicks off at 12:30. Then the senior men taking on Dandenong City at 3 p.m. as well. Thanks, Sam, for joining us and giving us all the good news, mate.
No problems.
Ed, we will take a very, very quick break. And when we come back, we've got more Avenger Radio right after this. We'll be right back.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Avenger Radio, proudly brought to us this week by our major partners, Clover. My name is Branson Gibson. I'm here with Ed talking all things Avondale FC. Ed, this week's episode is brought to us by Clover.
Yeah.
Clover Pipes.
Clover Pipes.
Yep. Good sponsors of Avondale FC.
We love Clover Pipes, mate. And we again, do. Just off the top of my head, Clover is the most complete provider in planning, source and supply of world-leading pipeline systems for water and civil infrastructure markets. So if you're in that type of market, Clover are the people for you. If you want to find out a little bit more about it, visit cloverpipe.com.au. They are Australian-owned with extensive reach across Australia and the Asia-Pacific region.
Fantastic. They are great supporters of
Avondale. Again, just off the top of my head, mate.
Yeah, mate, you know a lot about our sponsors, which is fantastic to see. Mate, we had a chat to General Manager Sam Watson earlier. He was telling us about how we have the go-ahead to return to the pitch back in action this weekend. Joining us are a bunch of senior men's players now to talk about this weekend's action. We have Yitay Towns, Blake Carpenter, Stefan Valentini and Brandon Lundy. So many players. They're all joining us via Zoom. How's it going, everyone?
Hey, good, thanks. How are you?
Going good.
Thanks.
They're all very shy now. Before the show, we were all up and about having a good time. Everyone's gone a bit quiet.
I'm in shock. Blake's here. I don't know. What's he doing here?
Was he invited or did you just crush the party?
Guest appearance.
Yeah. No, it's good. So, boys, we're back on the weekend taking on Dandenong City on Saturday at 3 p.m. at Avenger Park. Brandon, we'll start with you. How excited are you to get back out there, mate?
Yeah, I'm buzzing. Can't wait. It's been, 2 weeks off now? We're back into training and, you know, everyone's keen to get back because we've had so long of football the last year and a half. So everyone's buzzing.
That's good. Steph, how are you feeling about it, mate? 2 weeks off. I mean, was it difficult? Was it good to have a little bit of a break? How are you feeling?
Yeah, it wasn't good, the time off, but it's always a good thing for us to regroup and get a couple of the boys like back and a couple of injury concerns we had. So we've got a full squad now. So, I'm buzzing and I'm sure everyone else is as well.
That's good. Yitay and Blake, question for you as well. The break in the season came pretty much right at the midway point. Is that, if you had to pick a time to have a break, is that a sort of a good one to sort of let the body recover, sort of take stock on how the season's gone and prepare for a big second half of the year?
It's good and bad. We had a few players come back from injury, as Steph said, so I gave those boys a chance to get their bodies right. But at the same time, we were starting to hit some good form. So it was a little bit frustrating with that. But hopefully we can keep going where we left off.
Obviously, with the time off, it's come at, you know, the silver lining to this is that you're not playing as much football as you've got a whole bunch of football to watch with the Euros and the Copa America. Do you guys have any teams that you're following intensely in those particular tournaments?
We did a little sweep between the whole team. So I've actually got Ukraine.
Oh, dark horse.
Promising performance against the Netherlands, I guess. They scored 2 goals.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, doesn't count as a win. Who did you get, Yitay?
I got North Macedonia.
Oh, you beauty.
And I was the one that organised the whole thing as well.
Pop that.
Yep, bummer. Blake and Steph, what about you guys? Who are you guys rooting for?
I'm going for Italy. Like, I want Italy to win, I reckon. You know, maybe it's the year that it happens, but I got Denmark in the sweepstakes, so I reckon they can turn it around 100%, so it'll be good.
And what about you, Brandon?
One's a disaster. I've got Wales.
Has anybody got a good team? what happened to all the good teams?
Who got France?
Christian got France. Jeff, I got Portugal.
Ooh. Yeah. Rory got Italy.
Everyone wanted France.
Mm. Well, that could be a bit of a preview to a little bit later in the show because we do have a Euros quiz coming up. So if you guys have been watching, there'll be... Should we put something on the line, Branson? I know you know some people at the club.
Well, we just had the general manager, Sam Watson, on. I told him before that you should absolutely ask him about the
pinch. I forgot to ask him.
You did forget to ask him. So yeah. I don't know what we have to put on the line. So that's we'll,
let's
we'll
offer the boys a kit. You guys can keep your kit at the end of the season. How about that?
I love it. Ed, just giving away stuff on Avenger Radio. This is fantastic.
Yeah.
Coming back to games and everything, so how much does a two-week lockdown, how big of an impact does that have, like, in terms of training, fitness, momentum and everything like that, Brandon? Like, is it a big deal?
Look, for our momentum, like you said, it was a bit frustrating because we're starting to come into some good form, you know. We had some good results against some good teams, but, you know, you just got to do what you can, really. We've had the 2 weeks off. Boys have been training, trying to keep fit. You know, you try and do what you can, but, you know, we just got to get on with it.
Steph, what did you find the most challenging about the break?
Just not training with the lads, you know, like being in lockdown as well. So just missed the training side of things. And obviously, like, we were in form, we're playing well. To have that 2 weeks off and not continue that, it's hard. But yeah, that's all I miss the most, just really training with the lads and getting on the field and doing well with the boys. So, but yeah, we're back soon. So buzzing now.
Blake and Yute, obviously we had the lockdown last year as well. Does that sort of experience help this time round, sort of having been through that sort of pause and having to switch to virtual training sessions and that kind of stuff?
Well, I was in Adelaide, so I actually
had
a real proper lockdown. So it's a bit new for me. I struggled a fair bit the first week. So
yeah, I think it was just more the unknown again, like whether it would last a lot longer than what it did, like last time, and whether the season got cancelled or not. It was just, yeah, no one was really sure again. So it was hard to stay motivated for that again. But yeah, lucky the break wasn't too long, and we can. Start fresh.
Are you guys doing anything in particular to maybe get that training chemistry back, even when you can't train? Who was it that was playing Call of Duty together that we spoke to last time?
Yusuf
Branson?
And Yazid. Yusuf
and Yazid. Obsessed with COD. Are you guys doing anything?
Ping pong.
Ping pong.
Yeah. Smack a bit of ping pong out. Ping pong.
I'm top seed at the moment. So.
Absolutely not.
You say you got crowned Tasmanian champion back in the day.
Wow.
He's got his little backhand that he's got. It's unreal.
Everyone knows Tasmania's ping pong culture is huge.
Yeah, it's massive. Yes.
Very well known.
I'm bottom seed. I'm shocking. I've got two left hands. Shocking.
I reckon Scott's worse than you, Lundy.
Yeah, hey, Scott was talking a big game, wasn't he? And he's actually not that good.
Wow.
Trash.
Get against him.
Is that a good strategy, though? They'll, like, talk big, sort of intimidate everyone else? Or do you have to start off more humble and then, you know, surprise everyone?
Steph and Blake don't know much about that. Blake talks a big game, but he can back it up a bit. He's got a good left hand.
But Steph, he's only got a left, but he backhand. If you hit it to his backhand, he can't handle it.
It's been better, Steph, though. You can't lie.
It's getting better, but I've got you now.
I was doing a couple of Djokovic slides in the back.
He slid into the wall.
Well, I like as well how Brandon said he's got two left hands. That wouldn't be an issue if you were left-handed.
Yeah.
You know, like that'd actually be pretty good.
I am right-handed, so.
Yeah, that's the problem.
So slightly unfortunate there. Coming back to football, we will divert again, I'm sure. What is going to be the biggest challenge heading into the second half of the season, Steph?
Ooh. Look, I think obviously playing half a season, you play every team and they think, like, they start to learn how you play and everything. So obviously we have our game plan. So always the second half of the season is going to be the toughest, like it always is every year. So it will be tough. Obviously pressure's on. We're on top of the league, so we're going to be the hunted. But we back ourselves and we'll keep doing what we do and we can definitely – what's the word I'm looking for? I can't even think
Carry
of the word
on.
I'm looking
keep
for.
Keep going.
We can adapt. That's the word.
Oh, there we go.
Adapt. That's the word. We can adapt in any moment. So we'll be fine. But yeah, it's going to be a tough second half of the season, 100%.
Mm. Steph, you had one of the more memorable moments that we've been talking about on Avenger. It seems like it comes up every single week. Last week we talked about our goals of the season. Your just firebolt against Dandenong City was up there. Can you walk us through that goal from your perspective? I know there was a bit of chat between yourself and one of the Dandenong City players, and I know after the goal you gave him a bit of a spray. Can you walk us through the whole thing?
To be honest, I don't know. I was actually a bit, like, frustrated in the game. Like, it actually wasn't working for me in the game. Like, every ball that came to me, it was touching my knee, my head, it was going out. So I was getting frustrated and I was kind of like, I was in my shell a little bit. So then I just decided to, you know, I'll turn it up a bit and decided to hit a 40-yard bomb and it's just the way it happens, doesn't it? I never shoot from outside the box, so I can't believe I did it. I was actually hoping to hit the clouds with it, but it just went in, so I was pretty lucky, to be fair.
You're hoping to hit the clouds, interesting.
Yeah.
just the back of the net. Just a quick one as well, boys. Scott Hillier is jumping in on the Facebook comments.
I think he's
ready. I think he's pretty annoyed at your feedback on his table tennis playing ability. I think he's ready to go. Yuta and Blake, you guys mentioned momentum. So how big of a challenge is it going to be to get back on sort of that momentum train and rebuild that heading into the second half of the year?
I think what will help us is that we didn't actually play a lot of our best football in the first half of the season. And now that we've got a taste for it, I think that we'll be able to push forward and keep playing that sort of football. And now we know what it takes to get results against the good teams, that we'll be able to step it up from here on out. And, yeah, the fact that teams haven't played us playing our best football, so it's still a surprise out there, I guess.
Blake, what do you think?
Yeah, I just think it's going to be a good opportunity in the second half of the season just to step it up another notch. As Yuta said, we weren't playing our best football. Got players coming back. And I think it's just a good, healthy competition for us, all us boys, because we all want a spot. And, it's going to be a good second half of the season, I think.
Brandon, you were at the club in 2019. We were in a similar position, top of the league at the midway point. Second half of the season, we weren't quite able to carry that on and finish on top. What's going to be the difference this year? What's going to be the key for us to staying in top spot all the way through?
Well, pretty much just being consistent. Look, as everyone's mentioned, our team's getting back the boys that were injured. So I think that's a massive thing, where last year, the middle part of the season, we were copping a fair few injuries to starting boys. So I think we've got everyone back now. The team's a year older as well. We've had another year together. I think it's going to be a massive end of the season. That's what I think.
Fantastic. Big second half of the year still to come, Ed, but looming over us much sooner than that is the quiz. Now, I believe that you have prepped a quiz.
You would believe that, but it is unfortunately not true. I think Josh Parrish might be coming in to deliver the quiz to us,
which is
correct, and here
Ed,
he comes.
I love how you just sort of make stuff up as we go along. We're giving away shirts on the quiz. Josh Parrish is coming in. All right, cool. This is fantastic. So, fellas, so you said you've been watching the Euros, which is good. So we're going to put this sort of your knowledge to the test. Have you all been staying up till like 2 a.m., 5 a.m. watching the games? You've been watching on replay?
Some nights.
Every game?
No, I can't watch the late. I can't watch the late ones, but I try and get up. And watch
Steph, you were sending me videos last night.
He's a working man now.
Yeah, I was watching Scotland and Czech Republic for a bit, which was actually a great game, but...
Josh is just teeing up the quiz here. What did we think of Schlick's goal? Schick's goal.
Unbelievable.
It's goal.
Crazy. Have any of you boys got that in your locker? Just ready to bust that out? Liam Boland's done it. Liam Boland's done it a couple of times.
Definitely not. Definitely don't have it in my locker.
Year 12 grand final in Adelaide. Not
fun
from halfway, but
as you do.
Oh my goodness!
That's all right. Well, good.
Year 12 grand final. I'll take it.
Yeah, hey, that counts. That counts. That's as big a stage as the Euros in my.
I was playing footy at school. It's unreal.
All right, so good news, boys, is Josh Parrish is in the studio. We can't quite see him on camera, but he is here.
He's here technically.
Yeah, with his list
Josh,
of questions.
How are you,
so
mate?
We're gonna buzz in. Don't yell the answer out.
Is it fair for us to be a part of this quiz? Because
no, if they don't get it, we'll chime in. And we'll see if we can get it. So, Josh, you got some questions.
What's our buzzer?
Your name.
All right.
Yitz has to say Yitz, or is he saying Yitz? Yitz.
You could refer to yourself however you like, just as long as we understand
who.
Table tennis guide.
All right. Yeah, good name.
He's chiming in.
Let's go, Josh. Right,
I can't do this without some dramatic music.
I don't have any dramatic music. I have jazz.
It's going to be a jazzy quiz, is it?
Yeah.
All right, go on then.
Do we have jazz?
We may or may not.
We may or may not have jazz.
Well, let's have the, let's have the first question. We'll figure out the music later.
All right. Who scored the opening goal of Euro 2020?
Blake?
You have not got this.
He doesn't even know.
I'll go after him. I'll go after him. 3, 2, 1, bang.
Raheem Sterling.
No.
What?
The opening goal of the tournament. No, it was not Raheem Sterling. Go on, Steph.
Demiral own goal
for Italy.
Lovely.
Turkish centre-back Mary Demiral unfortunately deflecting it into his own net on the way to a 3-0 defeat. Question number two. Valentin. Which player scored a header while wearing a bandage around his wounded head?
Steph.
Oh, someone's been watching.
Was it Wales?
Yes. Can you give me a first name as well?
Scott Lockie.
I'm going to go Thomas Moore.
It was Kiefer Moore, but I think he's close enough.
Yeah, we'll give it to him.
Keith.
All right, let's go round the room. Let's go round the room for this one. So everyone can answer this. It's a true or false. Goran Pandev became the oldest goal scorer in Euros history when he equalised against Austria. Round the Zoom.
Brandon.
Yeah, what do you reckon?
Round the Zoom.
True or false?
True or false?
True. That's true.
All right, Steph, what are you going, true or false?
Don't copy.
I'm going to go true.
Copy.
Yite?
True.
Blake?
Say false.
Blake gets the point. It's false. He's the second oldest goal scorer. The oldest is Ivica Vastic, ironically, of Austria.
That's a disaster.
Österreich.
Well, Steph, Brandon,
nice.
Steph Brandon did warn you not to copy him, and you did. And
I know.
He's absolutely done me.
normally, I'll go the opposite to him as well, but I actually thought he was right with that one.
All right, question number four. Which nation is the only team so far to receive a red card? Go on, mate.
Poland.
Poland is the correct answer.
This morning, wasn't it?
It was this morning.
I've seen that on the football app.
Is anyone keeping score?
Yep. Steph's on two, Blake's on one.
And Yite's on
the board now as well. Okay.
Standard Lundy, bottom eight.
Yet to score. Which club side does Australian-born Scotland international Lyndon Dykes represent?
Brandon.
Brandon, I heard first.
He doesn't know. QPR
is the correct answer. Brandon Lundy is on the board.
I was literally telling Lundy.
Told me to tell him about it.
I was on FaceTime with him. I was like, "Hey, see that Lyndon Dykes? That's
QPR." It's a very well-rounded quiz. Everyone's doing well. No one's being left behind.
Lyndon Dykes.
Lyndon Dykes.
Brandon Scottish.
London.
Oh, that'll work.
Okay. This one's a bit of a throwback. Which coach also coached his nation at the 2002 World Cup?
Blake?
The
German coach.
No. He started coaching in 2010, I believe. Or maybe 2008. He was assistant in 2006, but he definitely wasn't there in 2002. Which nation are we talking about here?
That's a tough one.
Can you repeat the question?
So which current Euros coach also coached his nation at the 2002 World Cup? So he's had two spells in charge.
So he's going to be old.
Mm-hmm.
I want to say
Netherlands.
No, not Netherlands. No.
Stop guessing then.
Should we give a clue?
Yeah, clue.
Give us a clue.
This nation made the semi-finals of that World Cup. It was a bit of an underdog run.
Russia.
No,
not Russia.
Oh, the quarterfinals.
Did they?
Did you say 2002?
Yes. It's a long time ago.
2002.
I'm going to go...
I want to say Hungary, but it's no way.
I want to go Switzerland.
Incorrect. Across the board, the answer I was looking for was Turkey.
Şenol Güneş of Turkey.
Özerkan.
Yeah, so he's back.
Have we got
Senol Gunesh is his name.
Have we got one more question, Josh?
One more question. All right, this is an even further throwback.
So we say this is for the marbles?
I think Steph's still leading, so we can
Steph,
draw,
are you comfortable with this question being to win the whole thing?
Yes.
Yep.
Double points.
All right, there we go.
Pointless. It's the last question.
Yeah, but if you get it, Lundy, you'll go to the top.
You win.
And if Lita gets it,
I'm on 1 point.
I'll win as well.
That's essentially the same thing.
It's all on the line
on this one.
We're all agreeing it's all on the line.
But if no one gets it, I win.
All right. Yeah, fair. Which Czechoslovakia player invented a penalty-taking technique in the Euro 76 final?
You are kidding me. That is a question.
Is it multiple choice?
Steph.
If you can get his surname, I'll give it to you.
All right, Steph.
Steph's buzzed in.
Paneka.
Panenka is the correct answer. Yeah. Antonin Panenka.
There we go, baby. Lego.
That's actually decent.
Yeah, that's a great pull from Steph. Congratulations.
Yeah, that's lovely.
Well done, Steph. So you nailed the recent Euro stuff as well as the historic Euros quiz.
Historic Euros.
So Ed's going to buy you a
little
kit.
Dinkos.
Yep, I'll buy you a new kit.
Yep, as a prize, apparently. So
Avondale.
I just want one of those pink beanies in the background.
Bro, I've been trying to tell people at Avondale that they should sell them. And apparently somebody at Avondale has been chopping off the pom-poms. Is that a thing that people do? Chop the pom-poms off a beanie?
Everyone takes the pom-poms off.
Joey's got one that doesn't have one.
Well, I think, you know, if you're a player and you're wearing the beanie at training, the pom-pom would be a hindrance.
Would it be a hindrance?
Well, for like hitting the ball.
Are you heading the...
You'd get battered.
Your pom-pom's
not on
your forehead, though.
Well, no, but it might have an impact. I don't know. I'm just guessing.
I was wearing one the other day and I was in my car and it kept going up against the roof of the car.
We're not about the pom-poms.
Yeah.
We're not about them.
Right. Well,
there's a time and a place, not at Avondale Football Club, unfortunately.
No. Apparently not. There is a time and a place at Avondale Football Club, though, for a game. Our senior men's team will be playing this Saturday, 3 p.m., taking on Dandenong City Boys. Thank you very much for joining us. That does bring us to an end of the segment. Thanks for chiming in. It'll be good to see you all on Saturday and wishing you guys all the best.
Thank you very much. Let's go.
Enjoy the rest of the Euros. You all have dark horses to win the sweepstakes, but if one of you does get up, it will be rather incredible.
So
all the best there. Good luck. Ed, we are going to take a very quick break, but we have more Avenger Radio coming up right after this.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Avenger Radio, brought to us this week by our major partners, Clover Pipes. Clover is proudly Australian-owned with an extensive reach across Australia and the Asia-Pacific region. As we said before, Ed, Clover Pipes is a family-run business. They've built a team of project engineers, estimators, design consultants, and sales professionals that have dedicated their careers to the water industry, which is fantastic. That's just the kind of dedication you would expect from Clover Pipes.
Yeah.
For more information, please visit cloverpipe.com.au. Ed, we've had a bit of a chat about the Euros. We've had a bit of a chat to our senior men's players. We are joined by another player, this time from our junior girls team. We are joined by Helena. Hello, Helena. How are you doing?
Thanks. How are you guys?
We're doing very well, thanks. Thanks for joining us on Avenger Radio. Congratulations on surviving lockdown. How did you find the most recent lockdown?
It wasn't too annoying, if that makes any sense. I would always go out with a couple of mates, always training back and forth, just trying to do as much as I could just to keep my fitness levels up.
What was the go-to for training? Obviously, it's a little bit different. You can't train with the team and everything. What sort of drills or what sort of stuff did you do to stay active?
A lot of touch work. I found that my touch has become a lot better than it has, especially over quarantine. A lot of running just to keep my fitness up. And other than that, just trying to enjoy it and just trying to stay enjoying it almost. I don't want to just not have the feeling to play anymore, the passion to play anymore. I don't want to lose that.
Sounds like an extremely productive lockdown.
Yeah, it sounds like you've done well. You've stayed active and you've come out better, which is great. That's fantastic. Yeah. What was your designated practice area? Were you playing football inside the house or backyard, local park?
Oh, God, no. My mum would kill me. But I was always at Green Gully or outside.
Nice. That's all right. That's handy. I would have thought that maybe, you know, playing football, if you have a pet or if you have a dog or a cat, you know, could provide a unique obstacle. Or well, not obstacle. Obstacle is probably the hurdle. Wrong word. Well, like a dog could substitute defender. Perhaps. Yeah. Although you wouldn't want to be two-footing the dog. That would probably be...
suboptimal.
No.
Straight red.
No, that would not be good. Helena, you were saying before we were talking about, you know, the lockdown would be a bit of a bummer because it sort of brings the season to a halt. But you were also saying that your team has not played much football at all yet this year. What's been going on?
Just a bit of the season and a couple of the teams haven't been very organized, so it's a bit hard on our aspect. None of the games that we have not played have been our fault, but it's just a bit frustrating when you can't play each week and fitness levels are dropping because you're not playing games and things like that.
So yeah, you were saying, sorry, that you had only played one game in 8 weeks so far this season.
One game in 8 weeks, yeah,
that's a bit. And then lockdown comes on as well, it comes along as well.
Yeah, right. What how are the girls going when you are getting on the park? What have the results been like?
Well, the one result.
Oh, the one, yeah.
It's been okay. We've had a friendly and we've had two games. We've had Yarraville and can't remember the other team, George Cross.
Nice.
Yarraville, we've won, I think, 4-2 were the scores. And George Cross, it was a tie. We're tied with them at the moment on the ladder, or we should be. So they were our most competition.
Nice. What do you think the biggest strength of your team so far is? What have you noticed from training?
I think our passion towards the game and especially like how much we all connect with each other. We all have this really cool bond that you can't really find anywhere else, I find.
And Elena, you're an attacking midfielder who can also play on the right wing. What do you think your greatest strength is?
Definitely looking up and looking for those forward passes. For example, our game against George Cross, it was my assist, looked for that correct pass. She bashed in the goal. It was great.
Very nice.
Nice.
Do you score many goals yourself as well? I don't know if you saw in the Euros overnight, but there was a bit of a crazy goal from halfway. Have you got any tricks like that that you can pull out as well?
That's not usually my kind of thing. I usually assist the ball, but if I could, I would love to. I've had some bangers of goals though.
What's the best goal you've ever scored?
I think it was when we were playing Essendon Royals, and I'm pretty sure it was outside the box. It was a pretty good goal.
Very nice.
Yeah, nice.
I can't shoot at all.
Well, I remember when I was like 14, 15, I could not get the ball off the ground. Yeah. I always looked at the guys who could take the corners and get the ball off the ground. And I was like, one day.
Well, sometimes what I do is like when we see bangers scored like in by a senior men's team or senior women's team, like from long range, I'll meander out on the pitch after the game or something and stand there and go, this is incredibly far.
Acknowledge the distance.
Yeah, I stand there and go, I would not be able to kick a ball.
And if a ball rolled towards you, what would you do?
Would
you dare?
I would do what Elena does and look up and try to pick the right pass.
Yeah, good. I'll
dish it off to someone else. Elena, you mentioned your team's got a really good vibe, really good energy. Who's the loudest person on your team?
Well, I would say definitely me and my best mate on the team. I'm very, very vocal, I find. And I find that brings the whole team together. Everyone starts joining in. Everyone's very encouraging. We're always bringing each other up. It's good to see.
One of the things we spoke about a couple of weeks ago with some other girls, I think it was in the under
16s.
It was also the under 16s.
Yep.
I can't remember.
Yep.
Maybe we were talking about music. Yeah, we were talking about music and how Olivia Rodrigo's just banger, Driver's License, gets pumped in the dressing room. What other songs are you listening to get hyped up?
What other songs do we listen to? A lot of people, a lot of party music. We're trying to get
Mr. Worldwide.
Energized. Yep. Yes. Pardon my French, but Sexy Bitch is our go-to.
Yep. Everyone knows Sexy Bitch. Yeah.
We'll play it all the time. And Got Me Feeling. That's our game day song.
Got me feeling
that is a that seems to be a club song
is
because
that?
That's yeah. multiple teams who have listened to that. I think the senior men's team listened to that as well. So did all the teams have a meeting before the season to agree on Got Me Feeling, or is it just sort of just naturally been adopted by everyone?
I think it's just been adopted by everyone. We enjoy it. It's a great song to listen to. So
do you have a specific playlist that you listen to every game, or do you just sort of mix and match, go based on feel?
I've made a playlist and we're all joined in it that we have multiple songs in it. It's really cool.
Fantastic. So you haven't been able to play much football yet. Fingers crossed, though, with the lockdown ending, you can get back on the pitch. What are you hoping? What are your goals for the rest of the season?
I just hope that we have good outcomes. With our team, we have such an amazing team and I really do support it. There's a lot of us. We work as individuals, but we also work as a team, I find, more than we do as individuals. We're always looking for that forward pass. We're always doing multiple other things to benefit the team and not just ourselves. So I hope we have good outcomes.
Fantastic. And last question for you. What's the thing you're most looking forward to about getting back out there on the pitch as well?
Just the vibe. Playing is just one of the best things ever. I miss it a lot.
Fantastic. Well, Helena, thank you very much for jumping on Avenger Radio. Thank you for joining us. It's great to hear from our junior girls teams as well. And hopefully once you get back on the pitch, you get to play more than one game in 8 weeks. That is...
Oh, two in,
let's go for 3 in 16 weeks. Yeah, how does that sound?
That just sounds very frustrating. You know, you get all built up for the season, particularly with 2020, you know, cancelled, you know, didn't get to play much at all. And you're like, yep, great, we're out of lockdown. Here we go, one game in 8 weeks. So hopefully you get out there, hopefully this weekend, if not next week. Hopefully the other teams can... get their act together as well by the sounds of things, and all the best for the season to come, Helena.
Thank you guys.
No worries, Ed. We are going to take one more last very quick break, but we have a little bit more Avenger Radio coming up right after this.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Avenger Radio. My name is Branson. I'm here with Ed as well as Josh Parrish now talking all things Avondale FC. Gentlemen, coming out of the break, we do have some news, some breaking news, actually,
really?
That's coming to us live on Avenger Radio. Our FFA Cup game has been confirmed for Tuesday, June 22nd. Kickoff at 8 p.m. We are taking on North Geelong Warriors away.
That is exciting.
So just to reiterate, we're taking on North Geelong Warriors Tuesday, June 22nd at 8 p.m. We also have our senior women will be back in action as well. They'll be taking on Point Cook. Got some news as well. They will actually be playing at Avenger Park. So the senior women's will be playing at Avenger Park at 12 p.m. The under-19s and under-21s games are now on Sunday. So I know we said earlier that the 21s were playing at Avenger Park on Saturday. Mm. That is no longer the case. Under-19s and under-21s at Avenger Park on Sunday.
Are the women's on the Sunday as well?
Women's are on the Saturday.
Saturday.
So senior women taking on Point Cook at Avenger Park at 12 p.m. Senior men still taking on Dandenong City.
That is exciting.
3 p.m. on the Saturday, and that FFA Cup fixture as well locked in for June 22nd. So some exciting news there. Fellas, this is Avenger Radio. We do talk about all things Avondale FC, but considering we are at the halfway point of the season and we're about to enter now the back half of the year, we are going to take a little bit of a look at the league as a whole as we go around the grounds to look at how some of our competitors are doing and just get a bit of a read on how teams are shaping up for the second half of the season. So, Ed, we've got the ladder here. So if we take a look at the table, we are, of course, on top on 26 points. In second place on 24 points are the Bentley Greens. Just behind them on 23 points, we have South Melbourne and Heidelberg. In fifth, we have Hume City on 21, Oakley in sixth on 21, and the Melbourne Knights in seventh on 21 points as well. So it's all pretty log jammed up there. It's all very tight. There's only what is it?
Three points between second and seventh.
Yes.
One win.
And 5 points separating seventh and us in top spot. So, Josh, you've joined us in the studio. Of course, you do a lot of commentary and you host a bunch of club shows as well. So you're pretty well-rounded when it comes to your NPL expertise. So we're just going to have a bit of a breakdown on some of the teams around us. So if we start off with the second place Bentley Greens, they're in second on 24 points. What have you made of their season and how are they looking heading into the back end of the NPL Victoria campaign?
Well, much like Avondale, they had a disrupted start with lots and lots of injuries and had to make some signings on the eve of the campaign right up against the transfer deadline. But they've started to get some players back now. And in the last sort of five or six games, they've gone on a terrific run. Informed team in the competition, very, very attack-minded, lots and lots of goal-scoring potential in that lineup. Maybe a little bit open at the other end of the field, but they tend to just outscore teams. So Nick Tolios has really got this side humming. I've been super impressed by them, and you know, I can only see it continuing in the second half of the year now that they've had a couple of weeks to get their players back into peak form and fitness.
So do you think that Bentley would be the biggest competitor to Avondale?
I think that's fair to say. I think they've shown enough in these last several weeks to suggest that they can test Avondale and go toe-to-toe with them as opposed to sort of parking the bus and trying to sit off like a lot of sides tend to do against Avondale. So I'm really looking forward to when these two sides face each other again with both of them at full strength. Obviously, Avondale was a tightly contested one with a red card in it, if I'm not mistaken, away at Kingston Heath. But I'm very much looking forward to the return fixture at Avenger Park to see just where these sides are at going into this crucial stretch of the season that will secure with the minor premiership and the final spots.
You mentioned the fact they've been scoring a lot of goals. Braden Crowley and Pierce Waring are co-top scorers with five apiece. How important is it that they're sharing the goals?
Well, it is being shared around. And the thing is with Bentley Greens' attack, you're never really nailed on to start. Yeah, there's a lot of competition for places. So Braden Crowley, he's the top scorer, often starts on the bench.
As you do.
So he often comes off the bench to score. Pierce Waring's been in really, really good form and has developed a bit of a good relationship with McGrath playing a lot of the time with his back to goal and Waring being able to run and dribble at defenders and be played through and run in behind. So they've got a nice chemistry up front and they're, you know, putting sometimes three or four nominal strikers on the pitch at the same time. I think Damian Iaconis has been the unsung hero, dropping back a bit deeper to play as a midfield playmaker when in past years with Kingston City, we were more used to seeing him play as an out-and-out number nine. So they've gone to some lengths to make sure that all of these strikers can actually coexist in the same lineup. And once they make their subs, as many as four might take to the field at once.
It's Pep Guardiola vibes when you're doing... If there was
almost the opposite, actually, because Pep doesn't like his nines. He likes to make everybody midfielder.
Well, I was going to say in terms of rotation, if you were doing fantasy NPL, which I think definitely has to exist at some point down the line,
we could make something happen. I don't know if the stats are always accurate enough to run it.
There's always someone in the scaffolding with an iPad doing something. Are they not doing stats?
Yeah, I mean, there's Sports TG is always unreliable.
We don't want to talk about Sports TG. No. They suck, man.
But who we are going to talk about next, though, is the team who are in third place, South Melbourne. They have, what is it, 6 wins, 5 draws and 2 losses. They were on top of the league as recently as round 10, Josh. Bit of a surprise package for South. It seems like in previous years they've always sort of been looming as a big club but haven't really been able to take that step. But this year they kind of have. What have you made of them?
Yeah, well, they haven't really hit the heights ever since Chris Taylor departed. That's really been the story for them. They've got a very qualified coach with a pro license at the helm now in Esteban Quintas. I've actually been quite critical of him and the style that they've adopted this season. It's very direct and it's very defensive. And, you know, they've often got several centre-backs in the team, almost the opposite of Bentley. They like to play four centre-backs sometimes. With Liram Elmazi as a holding midfielder and Luke Adams playing as a really conservative right-back. But they've actually got more talent in this team than I think I initially gave them credit for. And they really showed me something against Bentley Greens, being a bit more of a dynamic counter-attacking team rather than sort of playing percentages and relying on set pieces and long balls and things. If they start getting the ball to their players who can dribble with the ball, like Zach Bates and Jerry Salados, and counter-attack at speed with, you know, real intent to get numbers forward, they can actually be quite attractive to watch. And, you know, Bentley in that game I commentated at Lakeside set up in a way that was conducive to allowing a lot of action at both ends of the field. So maybe that was a bit of a false impression. But with Harrison Sawyer's toe ligament injury, which is a weird one, he was in a moon boot. They had to find a new way to play. And I was impressed in that last game with how the pieces sort of fit together, even though they couldn't get a winning goal in that one.
Moon boot for a toe injury.
Yeah, I was just trying to protect it, I think. It's a weird injury.
Got to protect the calf when you hurt your toe.
Big toe. So, you know, he's just trying to...
I'm no doctor.
Just trying to make sure that thing heals. This break will be really good for Harrison Sawyer to not miss so many games. Might be a silver lining for South with the COVID shutdown, and they're a different team with him in the 11 than without him.
Yes, and just on South as well, they were undefeated through the opening 10 rounds. Since then, they have lost two of their last three, including a 2-0 defeat to Avondale.
Throw
of
that
course.
In there, mate.
Yeah, got to do it on the Breast Cancer Network Australia Pink Sports Day. That was a great day and a great result. You mentioned they're quite defensive. They do have the best defensive record in the league. They've only conceded 9 goals in those 13 games. 2 of them, of course, coming against Avondale, though.
You bastard.
Got to mention it, mate. It's Avenger Radio. We're talking about other things.
He's just dropping straight facts here.
Yeah, that's it. That's undeniable. Undeniable.
No, it's true.
Moving on to the next team, Heidelberg United. They sit in fourth place. They're on 23 points behind South Melbourne, only on goal difference. When it comes to the NPL, Victoria, Heidelberger always seem to be up there, sort of perennial contenders right alongside Avondale. Josh, what have you made of their season? Because they lost a couple of big-name players. They sort of had to rejig a few things, but they're still right up at the pointy end.
This season has been really interesting for me because I felt as if a lot of Heidelberg's success came from the attitude of their leaders in the team. And those leaders have departed, but the attitude has remained the same, which means I think you can point to George Katsakis and his coaching as a major factor as to why they're in fourth place when the squad that they have at their disposal probably suggests that they shouldn't be. Although they did recently make a raft of mid-season signings, so that suggests that Katsakis isn't entirely happy with the options in his squad. I think they brought in 5 players in the mid-season transfer window, including John Roberts, who was once the next big thing at Western Sydney Wanderers as a youth player. So I'm excited to see him in NPL Victoria. I think he's a really, really good striker with a lot of tools at his disposal. So they may look different again in the second half of this year, but the results that they've got, they've battled against the odds, and Katsakis deserves a huge amount of credit for scraping some wins away from home that arguably they shouldn't have obtained, especially away at Knight Stadium, where it was a real smash and grab.
We're looking at this top 6, Josh. Obviously, we'll get to Hume and Oakley, but Heidelberg is kind of the one that stands out for me. Is there anybody in this top 6 who shouldn't be there and who you'll be expecting to drop away?
I don't think so. Oakley have disappointed me, but there's so much talent in that squad. They should be playing better than they are. Hume had a poor start, but now they've really started to turn it around.
Well, they're back to where they were in 2000 in the cancelled season.
Well, yeah. Not quite. They were on top of the table in the cancelled season.
But they're looking back to where they were.
But in terms of performance, yeah, I get you. Heidelberg shouldn't be there based on performance and they've ground out results. But now they've brought in all those signings, so now I don't know what to make of them. So I would have said Heidelberg, but given the signings that they've made, it changes things up completely.
Well, just quickly on Heidelberg as well, they've only lost 2 games so far this season, which is more than Avondale have lost.
Yep.
We've only lost 1, same as South. So just, you know, again, dropping straight facts. Yep. They're also winless in their last 3. And interestingly, they have shared the goals around as well. Owen Ashton is their leading goal scorer. He scored 3.
Oh,
3 goals, and he's their outright
huge
leading goal
numbers.
Scorer.
And one of them was an absolute banger.
Well, not an absolute banger.
It was a belter.
I think Stefan Valentini's was a belter and a banger.
Oh, that was a firebomb, Ed.
It was a firebolt.
Firebolt, sorry. Not a firebomb.
Way to describe it, Branson.
I think so. We are going to firebolt into the next team on the ladder, which is Hume City. They are in 5th place. We just mentioned them before. They're on 21 points. Josh, as you said, they were the team to beat in 2020. They won all 5 of their games. They were sitting on top of the table before the season was canned. Found the going a bit tougher this season. Only once have they won consecutive games. That was very recently. What have you made of Hume's season?
Inconsistent is the word, isn't it? I think they really struggled to replace Steve Hewitt, but they've been trying hard to get him back. And I don't know if they've been successful or not. I'll have to put out some feelers and see if he's part of the squad. But they've been trying hard. They've been trying hard to get him back from the UK. He's one of the best midfielders in the competition. So if they can re-sign Steve Hewitt, who was so crucial to their title push in the cancelled 2020 season, that changes the picture for them. But they've been playing well in the previous few weeks before the suspension. Josh Bingham in great form. You've got 9 goals, so that's really impressive. Mm. Little concerned that they've lost James Brown to a lower division team in Nana Wadding. That's random. A bit strange. We know how intelligent he is with his runs off the ball and how difficult he is to defend as a result. That's a big loss. Hume, I'm not sure what to make of them at this point. I think the inconsistency means they're very hard to read, but they can definitely score goals on their day. They can be really, really dynamic, and they've got the coach and the system to be able to break teams down pretty effectively.
Mitch Cooper still cruising around Hume City?
He is indeed. He was injured at the start of the season, but he's playing again now. So maybe he can fill the void that James Brown has left. Although given their personal playing history, I wouldn't be surprised if he joined Nana Wadding as well, because they seem to follow each other everywhere.
Everyone's favourite A-League captain, Mitch Cooper.
Yes.
You know about that, Branson?
No.
The youngest ever A-League captain. He played for Gold Coast United.
Great.
Clive Palmer put his foot down and said, I'm the owner. I'm going to make Mitch Cooper the captain.
Great.
And Miron Blyberg made the mistake of telling a journalist that this was just a symbolic gesture for the youth coming through the club, and they had leaders on the park who would do the actual job of captain. And Clive Palmer said, it's not symbolic, he is the captain, and promptly sacked Miron Blyberg.
Then Miron Blyberg came out and said, I resigned. So then Clive Palmer sued him for defamation.
There's a lot of confusion. Anyway, great. Love it. Hume, they did beat Bentley in the FFA Cup as well, for what it's worth. They beat Bentley 3-0.
Bentley played their reserve goalkeeper, and he didn't have a great game.
Unfortunate. So, but
name names.
A win.
Name names.
Shout outs to Pav.
Yeah,
Ed's just getting
great media manager.
Ed's just getting absolutely reckless. I love it. Moving on, Oakley Cannons, 6th place. They are on 21 points behind Hume on goal difference. Like Hume, they were a hot team in 2020. They were in 2nd place when the season got suspended. Start of the year, hot tip to be title contenders, but it hasn't played out that way. Like Hume, they've sort of found the going a little bit tougher. What have you made of Oakley, Josh?
Well, they're trying to spend their way out of trouble, I think. They've been very, very hot on the player signings. Even, during the transfer window, bringing in players last minute, getting players out of hotel quarantine. I do like Aaron Williams as a centre-back. I think he's a big improvement, especially given the ACL injury to Eliopoulos, who was pretty crucial for them in the early rounds. I think this team is yet to click as a unit, because perhaps the signings have come in at different times and maybe destabilized things. But I still think this team is playing below their potential, and they should be a title contender. And it concerns me that we haven't seen those performances yet. But maybe the best is yet to come for Oakley.
Well, the one thing with Oakley as well, we saw in 2019, they were sort of mid-table at the midpoint of the season, and they absolutely stormed home. They were like undefeated in their last 13 games or something like that. And really, we're firing up until the finals, until Avondale beat them.
Yeah, as they do.
Yep. Which was, just a fact that just I'm dropping right there.
Cold hard facts, brother.
That's it.
It was pretty pretty feisty game, as I remember, as well.
Pretty feisty victory for Avondale.
Yep. That's the result.
Fiery.
Firebolt of a game.
Moving on to the last team that we're going to have a very quick talk about, the Melbourne Knights. They sit in 7th. They're on 21 points as well. They had a hot start to the season. Not quite a firebolt start to the season, but a hot start. They were on top of the table after round 5. What have you made of the Knights? They've dropped off since then, obviously, going from the top to 7th. However, that points gap is a little bit misleading. I think they've lost their last 2 games, which has seen them slide down the table, but they're still right up there.
If there was one team who was relieved to have a couple of weeks break, it's the Melbourne Knights. They were sinking because of the injuries in the first team squad. When they had they've got a thin squad. When they had their first choice players available, they were really, really gelling. They were really well coached, tight knit unit, which was probably performing beyond the sum of their parts. And a couple of those players seemed to be a bit jaded, a bit tired by the mid season point. Maybe they started their preseason a little bit too early and went a little bit too hard on the preseason prep. I'm not sure, but they had a few injuries as well. Alan Webb, crucially, he stretches defences and is a key figure for them off the ball to open up space, and he went down with a hamstring injury, and they've had problems all over the park with players going down with fitness issues. So hopefully for them, with a couple of weeks off, they'll be able to get some players back into the first team. But those two losses, getting pumped by the Bentley Greens, which, it's happened to a couple of teams this season. But
not to Avondale.
No. Not to Avondale. No.
Yep. Yeah,
straight facts. And losing in a surprise defeat to Eastern Lions at home, that's the real sickener, suggests that they really needed to reset. And I think it's mainly about having their first choice players available. Dorjoc, a lot of pressure on his shoulders coming in, as like a youth team player, essentially a reserve team striker, and then being thrust into the first team spotlight and asked to score the goals. That's a tough ask.
Well, I suppose that's what happens. Didn't he score something like 7 goals in 2 games or something in the reserves?
Yeah, he killed it in the 21s, but it's a different story in the seniors.
It is, of course.
He did score on debut against South Melbourne, we should say.
Yeah. Fair play.
But it's a tough ask to play your first senior games and be the number one option up front. So hopefully he'll have a bit of support with the likes of Alan Webb coming back from injury.
And Alan Webb, you just mentioned as well, he and Gian Albano are their top scorers with 5 goals each. You mentioned that Knights versus South Melbourne game as well. They were the first team to beat South Melbourne this season. Avondale the second the week later. But
yeah. Second's still pretty good, isn't it?
It is. Yep. You can only be who's in front of you.
And exactly right.
When they were, Avondale did. But anyway, taking a look. So that's sort of the top 7, the 6 teams that are sort of right behind us on the table. It's a pretty tight pack there, Josh. You mentioned that you think Bentley are the obvious sort of biggest title contenders. Who do you think is a dark horse? Do you see anyone in that top 6 really moving up? And as Ed asked before, do you see anyone dropping out? The Knights currently sit 7th. Is someone going to replace them in 7th when the season comes to an end?
Port Melbourne. Port Melbourne always gets disrespected.
Well, Port
I love
Melbourne.
Adam Piddick. He's got the cleanest shoes in the business. Give me some Port Melbourne top 6. Love, please.
Well, not
Port Melbourne are in 8th spot on 19 points.
That's
so they didn't quite make the cut on my top 7.
That's one win away from 5th.
Okay, yep, good point. So Ed Gooden is tipping Port Melbourne to jump into the top 6.
I think the top 6 will be made up of 6 of those 7 teams we've already discussed. I don't think anyone else is breaking in.
Okay.
That's a pretty standard take.
Is it a bit boring?
It might be a bit boring.
No. I don't see Port Melbourne making a run. I don't think Gully or Thunder are quite good enough, and the other teams are just trying to survive.
No, we all know that.
All right, so who's the other...
This isn't the Port Melbourne club show.
Is Oakley Cannons... if I was to tip someone in the top 6, I would say Oakley are the obvious favourite to jump up and to maybe steal a second or a third, just because they're just so good.
Well, their names on paper are tantalising, but the performances haven't been, and that's what worries me. It's been relying a lot on individuals to come up with the magic. Joe Knowles has done it a number of times to lift them to where they currently are. I think Hume, if they get Steve Hewitt back, I'm not sure what the latest immigration update is with Steve Hewitt, but I think they surprised a lot of people with their turnaround in form of late. I think they could make a run. And Heidelberg, it all depends on how these new signings settle in and how the new team looks. They could be vastly improved by these new players for all we know.
Mm. Steve Hewitt should just say he's a French au pair. He'll get in the country straight away. I don't mind Hume, to be honest, but I do have a soft spot just because of Mitch Cooper.
Yeah. Look, yeah. Youngest captain in A-League.
Youngest A-League captain, Branson. Did we tell you about that already, Matt?
You did. Yeah. You did. But
probably don't need to retell it.
No,
not on an Avenger Radio, unfortunately. But there is one thing that we do want to talk about. We are just about at the end, but we just want to reiterate some of the fixture news. So the games are going ahead this weekend. We've heard that our senior women's and our mini roos will be in action as well. So our senior men's team are playing on Saturday at 3 p.m. at Avenger Park. Our senior women's team will also be playing on Saturday at Avenger Park. Their game will start at 12 o'clock. They will be facing Point Cook. So we've got a double header of senior action on Saturday at Avenger Park, which will be fantastic.
Mm.
The under-19s and the under-21s at Avenger Park on Sunday. And then our FFA Cup game as well, Tuesday, June 22nd, taking on North Geelong Warriors at 8 p.m.
What a great 3 days of footy that is.
Yeah, absolutely. It's going
to
be...
Take Monday off, relax, go to work, whatever you want to do.
Watch the Euros, wake up at 3 p.m.
Yeah, wake up at 3 p.m.
Perfect, just in
That's
time.
That's work for you, Josh.
Yeah, it is.
You were invoiced for that time, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, just the sleepy time, especially.
Well, yeah, wake up at 3 p.m. That's the time you need to leave to head down to Geelong to get there nice and early for kickoff on Tuesday. So,
exactly.
So it's
far away.
Sounds perfect. We've got
you're going to Geelong?
Well, Geelong clashes with Avenger Radio, so we will see what happens.
Avenger Radio from Geelong.
Could happen.
Do we have cables long enough? Get from the studio all the way down.
Well, we will find out. We'll keep everyone in the Avondale community posted. But 1 week from now, our senior men's team, taking on North Geelong in the FFA Cup. Games this Saturday, senior women, 12 o'clock at Avenger Park on Saturday. Senior men, 3 p.m. against Dandenong City, also on Saturday, both at Avenger Park. Fantastic.
Stefan Valentini derby.
Yep, sure. We'll roll with that.
Why not?
Why is it a derby?
He scored the great goal.
Ah, okay, cool. So we'll see a repeat of that. Excellent.
This guy calls himself the host of Avenger Radio.
Well, I thought there was something I missed out where Steph had played at Danny City, so I wasn't on the same page, mate.
We only talk about Avondale on the show.
We do. speaking of Avondale, mate, that does bring us to an end of Avenger Radio. I think we better end it here before we talk too much about the Gold Coast.
Poor Melbourne Sharks.
Or the poor Melbourne Sharks. Yeah, we're nipping that in the bud. That's not happening.
Big shout-outs to Clover.
Thanks, Clover.
Yes, Clover Pipes, our major sponsors at Avondale FC, one of our major sponsors and proudly sponsored this show. For more information, head to cloverpipes.com.au. But Ed and Josh, we are going to wrap it up. Thank you very much for joining us on Avenger Radio, and thank you to everyone in the Avondale community for listening in. We'll see you this weekend.
Avenger Radio on FNR, Football Nation Radio.